Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii's Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss this upcoming season, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's season-opening interview with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, he starts again tonight, and it's Hannibal, and it's always a great game to start the year.
Yeah, it's a game that's been first on our schedule for quite some time, and I think it's a great opener to the season. Always a quality program. They're always going to test you with their athletes, their toughness. We'll find out what we're made of. We've had a good camp in preparation. We know what's coming. I'm looking forward to seeing the kids compete tonight.
Let's talk season in general. A little bit of a rebuild, but you do have some players back.
We do. We've got about six starters back on offense and six starters back on defense. Only one offensive lineman that really started, truly started. We have a lot of kids who got some time last year because of our rash of injuries. We bring back both our receivers, our X and our Z, Miles Gresham and Lucas Bloomer. So we have some experience there. Trey Rice, who will be our fullback this year, stepped in and played a lot after Matthew Malmstrom got hurt last year. So he has a lot of Friday night experience. With our tight end, we're breaking in a new tight end. Right now it's kind of tight end by committee for us right now. There's three guys still fighting to kind of emerge who the best guy is, but all three will play tonight. And they got big shoes to fill. Trey Beckson was a great tight end for us. And, of course, our two-year starter Drew Miller is gone, and Sam Wyrick steps in at the quarterback spot, and that's going to be really key for us, not just tonight, but throughout the year. How he plays really kind of dictates how our offense goes.
Good or bad, this is only the first game. You can't take a whole lot away from this, no matter what happens, right?
Yeah, you want to get your season started off with a win, but we got a lot of big things in front of us. This isn't a conference game. It's not really a district game. This is just a great team coming in with one of the best football players in the country, Notre Dame commit. That would makes this kind of special and unique.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, we're ready to go. It is time.
No, we're not.
Okay, you're not ready to go. How much more this summer would you like to have then, this beastly, ungodly hot summer that we've had?
Yeah, it's, ready or not, we're going to go. And,
right.
And tonight, it's a great opener as always. Elias Hannibal I think you could make the argument now that it's their biggest rival is either them or Rockbridge right now for
right.
Elias. And so... it's a good test. I think it's a good test for both teams to kind of see where they stand really early in the year.
Yeah. So let's get the kind of some table setting out of the way first. It's going to be an 8 o'clock start, not a 7 o'clock start due to weather concerns.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we got one more really beastly day before we get a break in it. So pretty much everybody's pushing it back, but it'll be an 8 o'clock start at Ray Henches Stadium. So, a little bit of a different time of day probably, but, that's just one of those things you deal with.
Yeah, I've heard some people, why don't they push it back to Saturday? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Officials, they're set for Friday. If they have college jobs officiating, they could have some college games on Saturday to cover. People working the gate, concessions, may have plans for Saturday.
Right.
Pushing it back an hour, is that really going to help? Probably not. The sun's going to go down, but it's still going to be steamy.
Sure.
And I think anybody, if you're going to any of the games tonight, just realize that it's going to take a while because... I imagine we will have extra water breaks.
Sure.
First part of the year, we normally have one, in the second quarter, and one another time. But there's probably going to be multiple. And so it could be, these games could go on for 2.5-3 hours tonight. So, at 8 o'clock, it may be 11 o'clock before you get out of there. So
right.
Pack your coffee.
And that's one of those things where I think it's a smart concession to make, only from the standpoint of, every little bit will help. It's not, like you say, it may not help right as the things get started, but if you can just limit the effect of the sunlight when you say, it is going to be probably 100 for most of the games, so every little bit that's not a heat index of 110 is going to be helpful for these kids. And again, these guys aren't anywhere near the shape they're going to be in even next week or the week after. We're still kind of getting them into hot weather shape, and so I think any concessions you make is probably a smart one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like clients, they've been practicing inside a lot, you know, or going late. You know, the heat may be a little bit, you know, different than they've used to maybe
sure.
in. And, you know, they will have needed to hydrate before now. But
right.
hydrate is going to be the key. If you guys are coming, if folks come to the game tonight, hydrate. You know, sitting
right.
in the stands, it is going to be steamy.
Right.
You know, and so it's going to be part of it. It's going to be that way for both teams. And you just hope it doesn't have an adverse effect on the game itself.
Right. So bearing in mind that last season is last season, but the Crusaders are coming off a 9-3 campaign, which, you know, for a lot of teams, you'll say 9-3, we'll take that every year, you know. So building off of what happened last year to where they're going into this year, how much, you know, can they build off of that, and how much are expectations either similar or different based on the people that are coming back that were part of maybe last year's team?
Expectations are always the same, you know, and the first one, the goal is to win the CMAC.
Sure.
Did not do that last year, first time. That was disappointing. The next goal is district, to win a district. You know, when the championship factor, success factor by Mission, whatever you want to call it, bumped them up to Class 5, one of the things Chris told me was, you know, okay, we're up here, there's not a lot we can do about it, but we want to prove that we can play at this level. We want to win a district title in
right.
Class 5.
Right.
Well, the first year in Class 5, they made it to the title game and got beat. Last year, made it to the title game again, got beat. You know, they still want to get that title, you know, and could this be the year? Sure. I mean, as we're talking, we don't know the district assignments yet.
Right.
But this could, you know, Mission, they've changed kind of where the schools are. Used to be 32 Class 6 schools, now there's 48. So the top 16 from last year in Class 5 got moved up. So that will knock off, you know, Hollis may not be playing a school three times its size, perhaps in a district championship game. Now it may only be two or two and a half, which every little bit will help at
right,
that level.
Right,
because,
yeah.
you know, the one thing I took away from both of those district title game losses was just the depth and the big kids and everything that those schools had that Hollis just doesn't have.
Right, right. So I guess, let's start with the offense. How prepared are they, you know, in terms of returnees, you know, key contributors? What can we expect from the Crusaders heading into the season?
A lot of skill players are back. The thing is, you know, the new quarterback, Sam Wyrick, a senior, is stepping into quarterback, and a lot of times you think, well, my goodness, a new starting quarterback, will the lights be too bright for him? Well, no, Sam's played varsity baseball, and he's played baseball at a high level in high school for 2 or 3 years now.
Right.
So he's used to it. He's excited. You know, I talked to him after the first scrimmage, and he's excited. He's ready to go. And Chris said, you know, that baseball helps him, you know, because people talk about Mahomes, his baseball experience, you know, arm angles and things. You know, he says Sam can fit balls in where maybe other quarterbacks can't or sees things. And the only another thing about the offense is last year's line. They was really, really good, but it was all but one of them were seniors. So they only have one starter back, which is problematic, you know, because right now, while they think they're talented, they're not 100% sure what they have.
Right.
And so that may be one of those things during the year that, you know, they need progress. Stay away from injuries, get better, and then you'll see where they turn out. But that's really the big two things.
So with that new quarterback, sometimes you can rely on, if you've got returning receivers, if you've got a returning tight end, the targets, how much can they take pressure off maybe a new quarterback? How are the Crusaders set heading into the season?
Targets are good. You know, Miles Gresham, Lucas Bloomer all had experience last year on the outside. Both had, you know, double-digit catches for the year. I mean, they spread it around a lot. You know, we talk about the backs, throwing the ball out of the backfield of the backs. Mason French is a key back. Alex Marbury, another key back. You remember, they're kind of like the same size, just small and shifty and can go. And when they get the ball, the idea is get them the ball in space and let them go.
Okay.
The corner, something to be interesting is like Logan Montoya this year is going to be like, for lack of a better way to put it, a slot receiver.
Okay.
You know, and at his size,
right.
6'3", 190, and, you know, we'll talk about him on defense later, but a great athlete who really is very focused in athletics, you know,
right.
state champion in wrestling. He'll be fun to watch. Now, he's not going to play a lot because he's so key to the defense, but he's going to be out there, and he's going to give them a big target, a big tough target to throw to.
So let's go ahead and flip it to the defense then, and let's pivot on Mr. Montoya. So what does he bring to things, and how nice is it to have a player like with his skill set?
You know, as a junior, he was the CMAC Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
He was first-team All-State in Class 5, had 140-some tackles on the year. You know, he is a very vocal leader.
Okay.
He's a guy that tries to lead, just get everybody fired up, and obviously it works. You know, and he's part of a Hawaii's defense that, you know, due to injuries last year, especially, you know, in the defensive backfield and at linebacker, they're returning basically their back seven starters from the last half of the season.
Okay.
Yeah, now a lot of them started as freshmen, but now they've got that experience.
Sure.
And so, I think they believe that defense really, really, really can be good, and it starts with Montoya and the linebackers, and they think the secondary is really good. Now we're back to the point
of
linemen.
That's the question mark.
You know, and the linemen are basically all gone. You're going to have to, again, develop them, get them, you know, and they're going to be in heavy rotation because of, you know, trying to rest them up for offense. So
okay.
You're going to see three or four people probably at every position, and we're going to see what happens. But, you know, with the linebackers there and everything, I think, you know, if they do their jobs, I think that the guys in the back can clean stuff up.
Okay. That leads us then to the third facet of the team, and that's the special teams. You know, this is an area where you and I have talked plenty of times in the past, where I think, you know, every coach says they spend time on it, and some teams do spend time on it. Some teams spend an inordinate amount of time on it, and I think Elias is one of those teams that spends plenty of time on it.
Yeah, I think the last 10 years ago, they really specifically honed in on their special teams because they thought that is a place where we can make a difference in the game. Now, I think a lot of schools have caught up with them now and
sure.
The fact that they're doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're still working on it, you know. And you know Nick Calvaruso is back, you know, another year with a Calvaruso kicker. So, you know what you're getting. You know, he's going to handle extra points, field goals. And Logan Hillman, who will start at cornerback, you know, 6'5", really good basketball player. He's going to handle kickoffs because he can get to the end zone a lot, which is big in high school. You can't run it out, so you make him drive the field. So, and Nick Calvers will punt. So I think that, you know, the special teams will be fine. It's just a matter of, you know, just executing it, and I think they'll be fine. They're good. They're always good.
Okay. Having touched on all those areas then, how do you maybe see, let's just take a macro view. How do you see maybe the season playing out in terms of, what are we looking at? I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're not going to say we're looking at a 3-7 or a 5-5 season. But how do you see basically if you kind of had to just kind of spitball looking at the schedule? How do you think, you know, we are looking at them? You know, maybe come district time. What's the record at that point?
You know, let's go. You know, tonight against Hannibal, obviously a tough game. I think week four at Cardinal Ritter, who may have the most individual talent in the state. You know, they're going to play that up in St. Louis. And the week after that, they go to Rockbridge.
Right.
They could, and I'm going to, could, after week five, be 2-3.
Sure.
I don't know that they will be, but there's that chance. And I think that, so I think maybe the bottom level is 6-3. Now this is all injuries and everything. You
sure.
Know, assume everything goes
sure.
Away. I think the absolute floor is 6-3.
Okay.
Could they go 9-0? I would be surprised because that's pretty. You know, those three are pretty good, salty football teams.
Sure. Sure.
Who will be, you know, the top 10 and I think in their respective classes in the media polls. But I don't know. You know, I don't know if they can go 9-0. I would think the top level will be 8-1. Somebody gets them somewhere.
Okay.
But again, 6-3, and I think if they do go 6-3 with that schedule, again, depending on who's in the district, that would get them either a 1 or 2 seed in the district tournament, and then you just take it from there.
Absolutely. All right, then let's go back just you know, on the what you mentioned, the starting game. This has always been a fun game. It's kind of taking on a life of its own as the years have gone on, and it's becoming, you know, like you say, it's becoming a fun highlighted circle it on the calendar date. So when we get into this tonight, then how do you see this one playing out? How do you see, you know, who comes out on top of this one?
You know, everybody, if you're in town, you know, Hawaii's fan, your last chance to see Aeneas Williams.
Right.
Who's going to Notre Dame next year, Hannibal running back, one of the top all-purpose running backs in the country, top 5 at the position. I heard the other day he's graduating in December and going to go to Notre Dame in January. So, and he's a handful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did a really good job against him in the run game last year up in Hanwell. And that kind of was the key in them winning the game.
Okay.
Now, Hanwell got film too.
Right.
So they saw what they did.
Right.
So can, you know, defense coordinator Phil Pitts and his staff cook up something different to see what they can do against and try to slow him down tonight? You're not going to stop him.
Right.
Yeah, slow him down.
And he's a guy who had his season end early last year due to injury. What are we hearing about maybe, you know, his health? And
all good. Yeah. I saw he was interviewed the other day. I saw something, and he said, I'm good, ready to go. He kind of had a gleam in his eye. We were talking about Elias, you know, looking forward to it. And, you know, I think this is going to be – this has the potential to be a really good game. I think this will be a good for Elias to see exactly where they're at.
Okay.
Now you're going to ask me who's going to win.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Who's going to win? I did. I went there.
You know, last year, I mean, I'm sure I picked Elias to win, but I was a little surprised at the way they won.
Okay.
I'm ready to be surprised again to see how they cook something up to win.
Okay.
You know, I don't know that a high-scoring game doesn't favor them, I don't think. It doesn't favor Elias. So they're going to try to keep the score down as much as they can. So I'm going to call it Elias 35-28.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.